This morning's scripture comes from the New Testament, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 23. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This reading comes from the New International Version. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word.
Thank you, LaVon. Thank you, choir. You know, this is the first time that I have heard the organ after its repair. It's amazing, isn't it? Sounds wonderful. In fact, I was missing it so much that when I was sitting at a luau in Hawaii and watching the Fijian girls, you know, wiggle their hips, there only one thing came to my mind, and that was, I wonder how the new organ sounds. And it just came into my ears. I knew how wonderful it was going to sound. So thanks to all who made that possible. So a man learns that his uncle has passed away and leaves an inheritance. It's an old painting and an old violin. And the appraiser claims that they are, in fact, genuine and original. It's a Stradivarius and a Van Gogh, and each one is signed personally. Wow, the man thought, gotta be worth millions, and probably should be, but not so fast, says the appraiser. Stradivarius wasn't much of a painter, and Van Gogh was a lousy violinist. Signed the wrong things. So inheritance is a gift given at the end of life to designated people or institutions. Sometimes it's a lot, sometimes it's not. It might sound a bit crazy to say this, but God also looks forward to an inheritance. Sounds crazy because God is God, right? God has everything, owns everything. But if the psalmist is correct in saying that the earth and all things in it belongs to God, what could God possibly need or inherit? And the word is simply us. We are the ones that God inherits upon our death. Ephesians 1:18, and I like the translation that LaVon used, and it faithfully represents that verse. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he has called, namely us, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. We are God's inheritance. If it is true that God is the source of all life in the universe and the ground of all being, and further, that we are sparks of that same divinity, in other words, you have God in you, I have God in me, every sentient being has God in it. If that is true, then it seems logical that at our death we are released back into the divine one, reabsorbed, if you will, all of the sparks of light reaggregating into that one divine force, what we call God. It is in that sense that we can say that we are God's inheritance. God is incomplete without us because we have part of God in us. As we release our breath at the time of our death, our spirits reunite with the cosmic breath, which is made fuller. The divine being gains us back as an inheritance. That gives me hope about my own physical demise. It gives me comfort about those loved ones who have already departed. They are already complete in the cosmic divinity, already complete in that cosmic ground of being that grounds everything in the universe. Their life has returned to eternity from which it has come. Now, I used to think of heaven in a very literal way. I guess it's natural because we're humans and we project our own human expectations. Used to think of heaven in that very literal way. So it's our existence, but it's just a lot better. So we get pizza here, but it's going to be heavenly pizza. You know, it's even better. We'll have bodies, but they won't get sick and die. We'll walk on streets of gold somewhere up there in the clouds. We'll still have our individuality, and we will recognize others and be recognized by others. We'll be able to watch what's going on down here on earth. I think that vision of heaven, that version of heaven, is too small. I really do. I think it's too earthbound. I think it's too anthropomorphic. It is a heaven created in our own current human limited image. So I think if our departed loved ones could come back and inhabit their mortal forms, they would tell us that we have no idea, absolutely no idea at all of what is ahead. They would say, when you breathe your last and become part of the divine inheritance, you will no longer have an individual consciousness. You will have a divine cosmic consciousness. So no, I don't expect to be married to my spouse. I don't expect to recognize you or others. I expect to have a consciousness that is beyond that, a cosmic one, because we are now rejoined with the divine being that we are part of in limited form here in our bodies. The only thing that we can say is what the one biblical writer says when he says that the old things have passed away and all things have become new. So it is impossible for us to project anything of what we have now into the eternal state to which our saints have gone and to which we will go. That is the blessed destiny of every living thing, every breathing thing on this planet. And it is the joy into which our departed loved ones have entered. I can't explain it. I don't know what it'll be like. It's beyond my pay grade. But I do believe this, that there are forms of existence beyond our imagination. And what lies ahead will be mind-blowing. Thanks be to God. And it is in that light that I want to call us now to honor our saints. Every year we do this, and Lisa explained it in the children's time very well. Every year that we do this, we calculate the number of people who have passed away from our membership rolls, and we honor them with a carnation. And that's what we're about to do as soon as we get into the program, and I'll ask you to call your attention to the bulletin as we work through that particular litany of the communion of saints. And we celebrate those who have passed since the last All Saints Day. So basically November through October of the next year. And then we give a time for us to remember others. And that's why you see the candles up here, the votive candles up here. When I call you forward a little bit later, you're welcome to come forward. We have candle lighters. You can take a light off the Christ candle or any of the others that are lit and light a votive candle or two in memory of a loved one who may not have passed away in the last year. That's not necessary, but a loved one nonetheless who has been a saint in your life. So look forward to that. And as we turn our attention to that, I'd like for us to sing hymn number 299 as we celebrate all of the saints. 299. Seated. We celebrate the communion of saints and do so by calling for the sounding of the bell. No person is an island entire of itself. Each is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Death, be not proud, though some have called you mighty and dreadful. Yet you are not so. For those whom you think you can overthrow die not, poor death, nor yet can you kill me. Inside the bulletin, you see on one of the half sheets the roster of saints who have passed in the last year. And we have but one. This is the first time in my 15 years here that we have had but one. That's, I guess you could say, good. But we also want to celebrate the passing of a very special person. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Julie, who is the daughter of Margie Redmond, to come forward and place a white carnation on the altar in her memory. Margie Redmond, November the 24th, 2018. May God bless to our lives the ongoing memory of Margie Redmond. At this time, I will light one of the votives from the Christ candle, and then all are welcome, in no particular order, to come forward and to light in memory of a saint or two in your lives. Let us pray together using the words that you see in the bulletin. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home, help us to walk worthily of those in whose unseen presence life is lived. Help us to have their courage, perseverance, loyalty, and love, and grant to us in this life never to forget them. Amen. There is a tribute that I would like to read called We Remember Them, and I would like for you to repeat that phrase, we remember them, after each phrase that I say. You will, in response, say, we remember them. In the rising of the sun and in its going down,
we remember them.
In the blowing of the wind and in the chill of winter,
we remember them.
In the opening of the buds and in the rebirth of spring, in the blueness of the sky and in the warmth of summer,
we remember
them. In the rustling of the leaves and in the beauty of autumn,
we remember
them. In the beginning of the year and when it ends,
we remember
them. When we are weary and in need of strength,
we remember
them. When we are lost and sick at heart,
we remember
them. And when we have joys we yearn to share, so long as we live, they too shall live, for they are now a part of us as we remember them. Amen and amen.